Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Primetime on Wildcard Week.
Bit of a red flag.
Yeah! Just a scooch.
This is a Wildcard Week edition of Primetime with Isaac I Was Greatness Before the Knee Injury Rock and Jason Big Beard Sakanic.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law. Injured? Don't trust just anyone to something so personal. Call George McCoy at Warren Allen. Online at warrenallen.com.
Isaac and Suk on 1080.
Oh, ho, ho.
The Fan.
All right, if you're wondering, Russell Henley leading the Sony Open. Mike did not put that in his sports smarts.
Mike, how dare you?
Unbelievable. 15 under.
Yeah, that's not going to the sports smarts.
Got a 63 today. Eagle on a 18. Wow.
That's not even a buttery 63. I don't know what you call a 63.
That's nasty.
Yeah, but that's a nasty 63.
Because right now.
65 is buttery. 63 is nasty.
Mike also spoiling the hot teas there, the Pac-12 coach with the extension, although you could probably guess it, is our friend Chip Kelly.
Yeah.
You guys shut up.
He got a 4-year deal at UCLA.
Hey, will you shut up?
Isn't it strange that halfway through the year that they wanted to fire him, and then he finishes off the year on a somewhat strong note, and here's a bunch of money.
Did they really want to fire him?
Yeah, that was about halfway through the season. They were in some... There was that debate. We had it on this show. Is UCLA going to move on from Chip Kelly? And then, you know, to give him credit, they righted the ship a little bit, but they kind of righted it against a bad Pac-12.
Didn't lose a bowl game.
That is true. Pissed. Who was that? Was it
NC State?
NC State. That was so mad.
We were down there. We were in San Diego. We were fired up. Our place is right by Petco Park, and we were down there partying with all the fans. And
they canceled it like
canceled
a couple hours before.
Yeah,
the
it was
game.
Like the night before, or the day before, I think.
Well, and the part that pissed North Carolina State off is they said that UCLA never gave anyone any indication that they were that they were in danger of anything.
So Chip at UCLA went 3-9, 4-8. 3-4 COVID.
Yeah.
And now 8-4.
Yeah.
Which is he had a good year. I think he deserves it. Keep some continuity for heaven's sakes. UCLA continually, I don't know. It's like Chip's good. He's fine.
Okay.
He's fine.
They beat LSU.
I would have kept him.
Do we count that as a good win? Cuz
I mean, all right.
LSU ended up being bad, but they beat LSU.
Yeah.
Okay.
Mm-hmm.
Hawaii, Stanford, mm-hmm. Arizona, mm-hmm. Washington, Colorado.
Give me a good team.
USC. I can't.
Well, they didn't lose to NC State.
They don't have a single good win. They lost to.
Yeah, who'd they lose
Fresno to? Fresno State.
Okay, that's tough.
So we're going to say Fresno State was a good team.
Yes.
Arizona State, they got blown out.
Ooh.
They lost to Oregon.
Good
and they
team.
And they got blown out by Utah. So.
All right.
Again,
well, look, he went 8-4, man.
They beat who they were supposed to beat.
That's right.
And they lost to teams that were better than them.
Hey, and they had won three.
I mean, what is UCLA supposed to do against those teams they lost to?
Chip Kelly is good, and I'm not certain.
Keep him. Keep that guy.
Well,
give him a chance. Give him a chance.
How much money did they give him?
I don't know. It doesn't say.
It just says 4-year extension.
Because Ferentz just, he inked a new deal in Iowa.
What's he got?
Making over 7 a year.
Yeah.
Yeah. And he got his assistant coaching salaries to get kicked up by a couple mil. He's now the 12th public university coach making over $7 million a year. And then privately, we know Riley's over that. We know Cristobal's over that. Like Shaw's over that. So like there's some serious money.
Outside of living in Iowa, he's done a really good job for himself, just making that program consistent every year.
Think about what
Where'd they get that guy?
He's so safe.
Think about what, I think he came from the...
we talked about this the other day. He was from Bill Belichick, wasn't he?
Is he Saban or Belichick?
He was on the Belichick tree from that conversation we had the other day.
Yeah. Think about the amount of money he's made
in
the house that he's built in Iowa. he's living the life.
Yeah, he was an NFL guy. Browns and Ravens.
Yeah, so maybe that's where the Browns.
They hired.
With Belichick?
He was an assistant head coach with the Ravens, and that's when Iowa plucked him as their head coach.
Somewhere in the
90s? Yeah, 1999. He's been there forever. He's like one of the longest tenured coaches.
Ooh.
And he's done a good job. Record, 178 and 110.
And the
good, he's no Chip Kelly, but.
And the good part about Ferentz is he doesn't have to really win.
Yeah, he just wins eight.
Yeah, win eight and go to a bowl game.
He's got the safest job of all time.
Yes. He really does.
And he makes so much money.
And they just keep giving him S tons of money.
But you know what? Give him credit. I'm looking through his. He took over a program that was terrible. They were 1-10 and 3-9. And he has since, I'm looking here, there's one losing season, 2006.
Yeah, he's been to a couple BCS games.
There's one losing season in 2012, and that's it. He's had two losing seasons in basically 20 years after getting it on, you know, getting it on solid footing.
They went to the I remember one year they went to the Rose Bowl.
I mean, that's what it's all about.
How many big games have they been to? I know they went to I remember them in the Orange Bowl, and I remember them in the Rose Bowl.
Lost in the Orange, won the Orange when they went 11-2 in 2009. And it appears here that they lost a Rose Bowl too.
Okay.
In 2015.
See that, and that's you know what? I also want to give credit to Iowa.
Yeah, smart.
Because a lot of places, when he would have, maybe not down years, but I'm sure there's years in there where there were dips, you know. And I'm pulling up his career that we're. A lot of universities would freak out, whereas Iowa understands who they are. They understand that they're not going to win 10 games every year, and Iowa just is a top 25, very solid program.
The dip was in 05 to 07. They went 7-5, 6-7, and 6-6.
See, I think a lot of places they would have fired.
Yeah, exactly.
Whereas and then Iowa's just like, nah, man, this is our guy.
2 years later, he won 11 games and won the Orange Bowl.
It's like Gary Patterson at TCU.
He also went 4-8 in 2012. Which yeah, could have been fireable as well.
Yeah, I mentioned that. But he's only had two losing seasons after those first two. And by the way, he is a Belichick guy. He was hired by Belichick in Cleveland and went with them to Baltimore when they became the Baltimore Ravens. That's how old he is.
Jeez.
Remember that?
Yeah, I do remember that. And, that's just, I don't know. More programs should follow the Iowa model.
Well, I think they try.
But whenever we have that conversation, people get like fan bases get so pissed off when you tell them that they should be happy with having reasonable expectations. They get all butthurt over that. Why can't we? Why can't we be like that? Go have that conversation with Tennessee fan or Nebraska fan right now and watch them freak the hell out.
I guess Iowa got a little bit lucky too, because the guy there before him was kind of like Kirk Ferentz and was winning eight games a year. And then he had a 3-win season and they fired him immediately. And then Ferentz went 1-10 in his first year and then was able to build it back up.
By the way, the other thing too is continuity at the top. Like the AD at Iowa has been there with Ferentz the whole time. Like he's been there since 2006.
And he's the head of the, whatever you call it, the college football playoff committee, whatever. That's the same bro.
But he's been there 15 years.
Yeah.
So when you have an AD, see that what happens is I think, you know, you got one AD who has that idea and he hires a coach and he sticks with him. Like say the UCLA AD, I don't know who he is, but whoever he is like, okay, we identified Chip as our guy. We've had some choppy waters, but you know what? He went 8-4. We're sticking with him. We're going with continuity here. Right.
Yeah.
If that AD loses his job, guess what the new AD wants when he comes in? He's waiting for Chip Kelly to stumble so he can fire him and bring in his own guy.
Yeah, he wants his own.
So you have to have continuity at the top too, and Iowa has had that.
Yeah.
With Kirk Ferentz. That's why, you know, Peterson was around so long at Boise State, right? Didn't he have an AD that he loved there? And then when the AD left, Peterson left not too long after.
I do remember that. Yeah, there is something to be said for not having to deal with a bunch of crap above your head that you feel like the guy's got your back.
I think I learned this at Kansas under Roy Williams when he was there.
Cheat your ass off?
The coach AD relationship is a very important relationship.
Yeah.
Like it's one that, and you don't really know on the outside how it's going or what it's like. But one of the reasons Kansas lost Roy Williams was that his longtime friend AD that Bob Frederick, who was there and you know, they were really tight and did a lot of things together, including win. He left, and then the next guy he didn't like, and so that helped drive him out.
Yeah.
So I think that's a big part of this that, you know, we never really know how it's going behind the scenes, you know?
No, you really don't.
Power struggle.
And, you know, you look at, like, Wisconsin that's had a lot of turnover, and one of the reasons why there is, I guess, Alvarez is a nightmare to deal with. If you're the head coach at Wisconsin, you had to play in the shadow of the greatest coach in program history who still believed that he was better than you. And you're right. That is probably an underrated aspect of
taking a job. Well, go Iowa.
Well, and go UCLA. The problem with UCLA is that not only has Chip Kelly been very average there, his recruiting is putrid. Absolutely putrid.
Still?
Yes. Yeah, it's in the 30s and 40s. He doesn't like to recruit. And by the way, Lincoln Riley just showed up in your backyard. And you know who does recruit? Lincoln Riley. And you know who else is coming into your backyard? Dan Lanning and his entire staff that has one mission and one mission only. Recruit.
All right, there's your hot college football news. Chip Kelly back at UCLA.
You guys shut up.
4-year deal. Travis Dye to the transfer portal. Next one, Fit.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/recommend today.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can waste another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can conquer it. I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. Any road. The steeper, the better. Because my all-new Santa Fe is available with H-Track all-wheel drive, so I can hit the trail without a worry in the world. Heck, with 3 rows and best-in-class rear cargo space, I can pack the whole family in with all our gear. We've got available dual wireless charging for our phones, so we'll never lose touch with civilization, and we won't lose touch with the primordial power of Mother Earth. So which is it? Waste the weekend or do something a little more epic and conquer it in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify is got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, juicy sports segment here in the news next. Travis Dye has entered the transfer portal at Oregon.
Someone come up with a bag of cash for him. Stat.
He is, of course, the Ducks running back and starting running back.
Mm-hmm.
So,
well, Vardell went down. So, and we don't know whether or not he's entering the NFL draft or coming back. That's
who, Vardell?
Yeah. It's kind of up in the air.
Yeah. Well, I think it's interesting. You know, you got a starter here who's
But he wasn't the starter before.
Well, but he was getting carries, wasn't he? Weren't they splitting?
He got, but CJ was the main back. But dude, Travis Dye has never been the man at Oregon. But that is a damn good productive player, and I really thought he should have been an all conference player, because when CJ went down, and I thought he led the Pac-12 in all purpose yards, if I'm not mistaken. He had a hell of a year, and I think he has been an underappreciated player in his time here at Oregon.
Yeah, so I just wonder what's going on with him, you know, because if he comes back at Oregon, you would think he would have some carries, you know?
Yeah.
Dan Lanning just got on campus, so I would imagine he's already spoken with Dan Lanning, or maybe Lanning now needs to try to smooth that over. Because it does say that Dye is not, he's not decided if he's leaving, but he has put his name into the portal.
And he could go to the NFL too, although, you know, look,
he's not going to the NFL.
He's not going to the NFL.
But he's a guy that, I don't know, it's sometimes these guys, sometimes the guys that enter the transfer portal, it's very obvious why they're entering. It's like, well, that's probably the odd man out or whatever. Dye doesn't seem that way though.
No, but at the same time, right, if CJ does come back, I think Cardwell is probably the next big thing at running back for Oregon. Sean Dollars is coming back. Seven McGee, although he may end up just staying permanently out at receiver, I'm not certain. He bumped out there last year. And remember, even with just CJ and Dye, he wasn't the primary guy. So, you know, you go from getting finally your chance to be the guy and carry the load, and now you realize that you may not just be splitting carries with one back, but you may be splitting carries with two and three. And so maybe you're looking at your future in the NFL and you realize, hey, I was able to do this with all the bulk of the carries. Maybe he wants to go someplace, or is entertaining the idea of going someplace that he could just be the bell cow, because at Oregon he probably won't be. And I don't know. And maybe he's just, I don't know, maybe he wants a different challenge, or he doesn't want to go through a coaching change. I'm just trying to spitball some ideas of why a guy like that would look to go somewhere else.
Well, I can't imagine they're letting, like, they know how they're going to use, they don't know how they're going to use him yet.
No.
They just got on campus.
Yeah.
Right?
Yep.
So why would, that's what's interesting to me. It's like, if I'm Travis Dye, I don't know, who knows what's going on, but maybe he's just trying to shake a little money out of the tree, you know? Look, you know what I'm saying?
I do know this does happen. when guys enter the portal.
I'm going to leave or else.
There are rumors around the country, not here, of course.
Good for him.
That upon entering the portal and keeping your options open, that maybe that does lead to some NIL deals or, you know, a couple few shekels here and there. And you know what? If that's the case,
smart business.
Good for you. No problem with
smart business. I just think that I can't imagine there's clarity on how he's going to be used.
Yeah,
you know, there's no way.
Yeah, I don't know. But at this point, it's all confusing to me because seemingly everyone leaves and comes back. McGee did it. Sean Dollars did it.
Dollars is staying, though.
He's staying. Dollars was leaving and then staying and then leaving and then staying. I think he's staying now.
Yeah, I think that's what they said.
I think Dollars is back. I think he tweeted that
Dollars got some dollars.
He's all in. No one knows.
Why are you looking at us like that, Mike? You don't think he's back?
No, I didn't see that because I remember in my sports store 2 days ago, it was – the third decision was he was leaving.
Yeah, no, I think he said he came back.
I think he's back. I got to look
this
up.
Which is maybe why Dye's pissed. He's like, oh, yeah? You got what for coming back? I'm transferring.
Yeah, I think he's back. I really do. But I need to check because, yes, and that whole thing, the leaving, or whatever, that all came down in like 30-something minutes. So
why do they do that? Why don't they just?
I don't know. You're asking me to get in the head of like 19-year-old kids.
Can't you sniff out?
Yes, he's back, by the way.
Dollars. Dollars got dollars.
Yeah, right here. One day ago, updated. Yes. Just when you thought Sean Dollars was out, Dan Lanning pulls him back in. So, yes.
Okay, bit of a dumb question here.
Yeah.
But does your name have to be in the portal for you to sniff around other opportunities, right? Or is that the way, once you do that, that's the only way coaches know that you are available, and then you get to see who comes after you and then make a decision?
That is the way that it's supposed to happen. Look, I'm sure there's guys during recruiting that have connections at other places that are like, hey, man, if it's not working out for me here, you got a spot.
See, that's what I always thought. It all happened. They don't need the portal. They all know each other. And like,
but the portal is a thing where you put your name in there, and every school now has someone that is watching that. And then it's supposed
daily.
It's supposed to keep everything on the up and up. And I think for the most part, it probably does. But yeah, there's certainly, if you've got connections, like if you get a lot of these kids, when you find out they're in the transfer portal, what's the first thing? Well, these were the other three schools that he was entertaining during recruiting. So if I don't know who Sean Dollars was being recruited by. I'm assuming a lot of people. He was a four-star kid. But if you're Arizona, for instance, or Arizona State, and you were high after Sean Dollars and he picked Oregon over you, and then you find out that he's not happy and is entering the transfer portal, damn right you're calling him being like, hey, I know you didn't pick us the first time.
Yeah, exactly.
How about now?
Yeah. Okay, well, hot transfer portal talk. We'll see what happens with Travis Dye. Here is my sports query, my old man sports query for you.
Yeah.
You'll probably laugh at me and I'll be shouted down by texters who are like, God, Rob, you're an idiot, which nothing new. I was noticing, I think I watched the Blazer game this happened. And there
I'm
was
sorry.
Yeah, I know. And then there was another game I was watching, and I think it was NBA, but it might have been another sport. Any hoosies.
Might have been a sport that looked like basketball.
What? Hockey?
Something like that.
Hockey. I think
it was
hockey.
White guys with sticks.
Why isn't the home team always in white anymore?
The home team makes their determination.
So the home team says, I want to wear whatever I want to wear, and then the other team has to just wear the opposite?
Has to counter, yeah.
Yes.
And when did that happen?
I think it's always been the case. Now, what? League set.
I thought you always wore white at home.
League set, there's a standard usually, but yes, the home team can decide to wear whatever they want. Like sometimes in the NFL.
I seem to remember the NFL for a while was the away team always wore white.
Well, why would that be? Because the home team just happens to choose.
Well, they would have two uniforms, and the home team would wear the colored uniform at home, and the away team would wear the white uniform.
I don't think that's the case. I'm pretty sure home teams were always dark, but because I remember like...
That's what I'm saying.
Yeah, home teams were dark.
Yes.
Home teams weren't white.
Yes.
Yes. But in the NFL, that is the tradition. But the NFL, you can choose because a lot of hot weather teams like Tampa and Miami will wear white at home because the heat. You know, if it's going to be 110 out, you don't want a black or a red jersey that sucks in the heat. So I know it changes from league to league, but most have a standard. You home wears colored or wears white, but it's the team can make adjustments.
So in basketball, according to internet,
yes,
the first team named in the schedule, the home team shall wear light colored shirts, preferably
okay.
white.
Okay.
The second team named in the schedule, the visiting team, shall wear dark colored shirts. Although isn't it usually the first team named as the visiting team, but what do I know?
Yeah.
If the two teams agree, however, they may interchange the colors. So I don't know. I was watching something the other night, and I think it was the Mavs were playing. I forget who. I was watching it for a good solid minute and a half thinking that one team was the other team because it was the home court of, I don't remember, Dallas or whoever, and they were not wearing white. And I'm like, hey, wait a minute.
You were thrown
That's
off.
Luca. What's he wearing that jersey? Oh, they're the home team, but they're wearing black.
Rob dialed in.
Well, I'm sorry, but I'm going to be an old man and say that I think the home team should always wear white.
Wow.
You cannot confuse.
Look at you agreeing with Suk on his love of the whites.
And someone saying, like, hockey does not wear, traditionally does not wear white at home. In hockey, the dark yes. jersey. So. Yes. Someone is saying that Rob
also
is,
in the NBA, it's like there's every team has four or five jerseys yes. now. So,
and that's the truth. But like in hockey, like the Red Wings, they wear red at home.
Yeah.
I want wear white red at home.
You know, I prefer
that's
the
what
whites.
I want.
I've long said it. We were at a Mariner game once.
Isn't the white uniform more boring? Why would you want that at your home?
I don't know. It's tradition for me. Like it's just when you're old and you're dumb and you're looking at a TV screen and you don't know who's playing, you want to know. The first thing you look for is who's in white. And then whoever's in white is like, oh, that's the home team. And then you try to figure out who that is. And then you know.
But didn't we just
say
the NFL has always been the darker color at home?
I don't know, dude.
So what?
It's more of a, I think it's more of a, for me growing up, it was more of like a baseball basketball thing.
Yeah.
And I don't know what the baseball rule is, but.
Well, baseball was gray on the road.
And that's right. And always white.
Yeah.
At home.
So it was.
And then it threw me off when they
that's
wore.
That's where the home whites road grays came from.
Yes.
Yeah. And but then they'd wear like the Royals, for example, wear the blue tops but white pants at home, like the Sundays, and it's like, what is this?
Well, most teams now in baseball do have a Sunday uniform. The Mariners Sunday uniform is the kind of the eggshell, I don't know what you call it, cream. With the light blue or the royal blue hat, but the old S logo.
Padres always did the military uniforms on Sundays.
So the Sunday uniforms in baseball, I think, are almost universal now that teams have set Sunday unis. We were at a game once.
Not the Yankees, though. They just have the two.
Yeah, the Yankees just have the two. A couple years ago, I took my kids up to a Mariner game, and it was a Sunday game, and they were playing so they had the Sunday alternates, the creams, and then they were playing the Angels, and the Angels had a different, like, alternate unit or uniform on, and my daughter didn't realize that there were two teams.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
See what I mean?
Yeah. She was confused. It was the first inning, and she goes, wait, are they, like... She goes, is there another team coming or are they like scrimmaging? And I went, what?
Wow.
And she was thrown off. And I guess from we were sitting in the outfield, I guess they kind of looked alike, but I just stared over and I was like, they're wearing different color hats. And she's like, well, I just thought they were doing that so they would know who's offense. And then she realized that it was just one of those like, oh, duh moments. And she wanted to die and bury her head in the popcorn. But she did not realize that there were two separate because the uniform colors were different than the traditional, you know, white and gray.
So our reporters are saying that they just changed the rule in the NBA a couple years back because now Nike makes those unis and they have multiples, you know, they have the cities and they have all these other uniforms, you know?
Yeah.
So that changed things.
Nike decides everything.
But baseball, I think, is still white at home, right?
I don't know. I think that's
is this not important to you?
No, but I know each sport is different.
It's funny because
this is important.
A lot of sports fans love jerseys and they love cool jerseys, but they don't give a rip of who wears what color at home.
They don't.
I don't think so.
I'm getting some people agreeing with me on the text line here.
I believe Major League Baseball, you're supposed to wear white at home, gray on the road, but
correct. Although that is becoming looser and looser.
So.
A lot of teams have the colors now.
I don't know.
Just a white and a gray.
I know in the NFL you can choose. So do other sports get to choose too? Because like the Cowboys and like the Dolphins, like they will wear whites at home.
Here's a good text. I think I read an interesting story about why the Cowboys used to wear white at home, but it must not have been that interesting since I can't remember why. LOL. Thank you, sir. Thank you very much for the contribution.
One of those.
All right. Well, that's sports.
I very much appreciated you yelling at the cloud, though. It was a great,
moment. At home. I want whites at home.
It turns out that you do prefer the whites.
I prefer the whites at home.
Rob doesn't care about anything other than
whites.
At home, it's white.
Rob doesn't want colors at home.
Yes, you do what you want, but in Rob's home.
Well, the road team wears the dark color because they're bad. The evil dark.
Unless your team is the road team?
And the road team always has to grow beards. They all have to have beards.
Does the beard make you evil?
And then
the home, the mustache made you evil.
Well, beard or mustache.
Go
and then
team.
The home team is in white there and cleanly shaven like Mike's Yankees. And there you go.
Do they have to grow a beard when they go on the road?
Yes, of course. Yeah. They should have to put on fake beards.
I unfortunately will never, none of us will ever be a New York Yankee. God. That and some other reasons.
In the news is next. Here's Mike.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
After the end of a good fight, you deserve an ice-cold reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. You've earned this rich golden lager with a crisp, refreshing taste. Because you know, the bigger the fight, the better the reward. You put in the hours, the energy, the tough labor. You are a fighter, and Medela is your reward. Medela, the mark of a fighter. Drink responsibly. Beer imported by Crown Imports, Chicago, Illinois.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen, Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
All right, Hot 5 coming up. Setting your weekend DVR, Joey Harrington, Club 1080. It is January 14, 2022. It's time for In the News. I'm your noted and carbon neutral newsman. Today is Feast of the Ass.
I think we've talked about Feast of the Ass at some point.
Well, if Feast of the Ass pops up on the sheet, you know, every day when I check what day it is,
yeah,
you better believe I'm bringing that to the table.
Absolutely. Once again, can you please refresh us on what the Feast of the Ass is?
It was a Christian feast during medieval times, which was mainly celebrated in France. It celebrated all of the donkeys of the Bible.
Oh.
Especially the one that was believed to have brought Jesus and his family into Egypt after Jesus's birth.
Ah,
I see. During what is known as the flight into Egypt.
So what do we do? Are we supposed to, do we feast on ass? Or what what exactly do we do?
Well,
I think Mike had his earlier.
I'll let you deal with that.
I think Mike jumped the gun.
You celebrate however you'd like.
I was just wondering, like, what the, you know, what the history of it was.
It is also National Dress Up Your Pet Day.
Oh, yeah, don't do that.
Yeah.
Although sometimes in little dogs, it can be a little adorable.
Little Molly Two Poops.
Yeah.
She has a rain jacket.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to lie, it's the cutest thing of all time.
I was going to say, yeah.
She's prancing around in her little pink rain jacket. It's got a little hood on it.
Boy, I feel like 2 years ago, you guys would have both been very adamantly against it. And now I'm hearing a very different
tune. Oh, I was.
Tune.
My wife said, I'm going to get her this. I'm like, don't. Oh, my God, don't do this. But now that, and of course, I have no say in it. So she got it. And I tell you what, not only is it cute, it's kind of convenient when it's raining. She doesn't get nearly as wet.
There are times I come home and one of my dogs is dressed up.
That's how it works.
And
purpose of a rain jacket.
And I immediately am like, damn it. I'm like, take that off. And then I'm like, it's kind of cute. But I feel like terrible because the dog doesn't want it on. My little bulldog, Crumb, they've got him a teddy bear costume. Look, it's pretty cute. It's a little fat teddy bear, but then he looks at me and he's miserable, and I take it off of him, and then everyone yells at me for being a killjoy.
Well, I do think there are times when the dogs, you know, you can tell they don't want it on them. They're like, what are you doing to me? Yeah. I will say, at least in our house, Molly loves it.
Yeah?
She's like, put that thing on me, man. I don't want to get wet.
Ka, who's the bigger one, they just put, like, my clothes on him. I'll come home and he's, like, wearing, like, a t-shirt or something because they don't...
A pair of your undies?
Well, they don't really make dog clothing for giant dogs. And so I'm like, why is he wearing that? And they'll be like, oh, he felt like putting something on him.
Yeah, why is it always for small dogs? Why not?
He has a Stop Asian Hate shirt that he wears a lot. Well, he's a Japanese dog, so I don't know the irony of that, but apparently my kids think it's hilarious for him to wear the Stop Asian Hate.
Well, we've had statements issued from the mayor's office today. You care to guess what this is for?
I'm sure they're very powerful. Is this over the meme thing?
Well,
the police?
Yes.
Yeah.
The PowerPoint slide.
Yeah, you can't do that.
Can I read this to you?
Yeah.
Can I read this on the air?
Yeah.
So, Mayor Wheeler, our fearless, and I mean fearless leader.
Teddy Tear Gas?
He released a statement, and it was regarding the inappropriate PowerPoint slide that may have appeared as part of a Portland Police Bureau training session, but they don't know yet. They're investigating.
Yeah. Can we just go ahead and say that that probably appeared?
So they were reviewing documents as part of a lawsuit filed against the city because of the protests of 2020, right?
Yeah.
So they were looking through documents and this slide popped up. Somebody was like, hey, what's this? Well, here is the slide in question. Okay, it's got a photo of a It looks like a soldier.
Yeah, a police or someone of authority that's dressed in riot gear.
Right.
And they're raining down a blow
on
what appears to be a bloody rioter, hippie, whatever.
And it says on the top, "And the Lord said." Oh, boy.
Yeah. That's all you need to know is that it started with, "And the Lord said."
And then on the bottom it says, "Woe be unto you, dirty hippie, for thou stinketh of patchouli
and B.O.
Oh, yeah, okay.
I got you.
I thought that was 80. No, I'm like, what?
Patchouli and B.O.
And B.O. For thou talk of marks, yet know him not. For thou hast bills, yet have not paid. For thou hast dreadlocks and white skin. And so I shall send among you my humble servants with hat and with bat, that they may christen your heads with hickory and anoint your faces with pepper spray. And once thou hast been cuffed and stuffed, once thou hast been stitched and bandaged, perhaps thou shalt learn, I'm tired of your..." And then at the end it says, "Amen."
Yeah, that's not good.
A little bit of a prayer there.
And the prayer here has been attributed to he's the leader of what they call him, the alt knight, and I guess he's an extremist and a white, you know.
Okay.
Yeah, it's not good. It's not good.
What's he do for a living, that guy?
Well, that was my question that I posed to you. So I was looking about this guy who came up with this. This is his prayer. They always have clever nicknames too, right? He goes by the name of Based Stickman. That's like his...
That doesn't sound very clever.
No, but it's usually like Blood Agent or like they've played one too many Call of Duty games. And he just apparently runs around the country and like, you know, this is what he does. And I always wondered, like, what do you do for work? Does that guy work at a tire store? Like Antifa, do they work at a Starbucks? When that's what you do, like that Joey Gibson guy, how do you pay your bills?
Well, the Antifa people are always incognito, right? Like they don't reveal their identities. So they probably are out amongst us at Starbucks. I don't know. But yeah, the other guys, they're well known, right? Like they're kind of
So
I don't know what
they're
they do.
Kind of proud of it.
Yeah. Well, they call themselves the Proud Boys.
Yeah. Yeah, it's Kyle Chapman is this guy's name, and apparently he's a wonderful human being, and he runs around, and last day he was arrested recently, just last year, for assaulting healthcare workers in Idaho. So,
all right, well, boy, I don't know what to say about that, other than not shocked, but Jesus, man.
Yeah.
I mean,
I would like to believe that...
Like Sue said yesterday, where do you even begin to get out of this pit that we've found ourselves?
God. Like, I understand that the police have a hard job,
right,
and not all of them are evil, but someone inside that organization has to start looking at it and saying, guys, we're not doing ourselves any favor here when we're putting presentations. And if you think this was a joke and ha-ha, guess what? You're part of the problem. You can't keep doing this. No, it's...
Good grief, man.
This is bad.
Crazy.
That's the sucks is the ones that are good, that are out there trying to do a good job, then just get labeled with everyone else.
That is definitely the sucks.
It's a big old pile of mess.
All right.
And can I also ask too?
You may.
When did...
I'd like you to.
Well, a lot of the this Mr. Chapman and the prayer of the alt knight, as he calls himself.
God.
When did... Because I've read the Bible.
The prayer of the alt knight.
Yeah, I went to a religious school.
Self-important much?
I've read the Bible. I feel like I have a decent understanding on what Jesus is all about. Can't say that me and him are on the best of terms. But I understand what he's trying to do. Where in the Bible is Jesus just this menacing evil dude with guns and violence and beating up hippies? I must have missed that part of the good book. Where Jesus was like the holy hand grenade of Antioch.
It's in the New Testament.
The new one.
Yeah, yeah.
It's like, I carry a Bible and a 44. I don't think Jesus carried a 44. I don't know how those two things got so...
I don't
so
think 44s existed.
I carried a Bible and a slingshot. That's what I got.
I don't know, man. Now, when we come back, I'll tell you what the Portland Public Schools Administration is accusing its teachers of doing. Boy, yes. Things are going great.
Things are just thumbs up all around.
It is 4:49 on the Fan.
All right, football fans, the NFL draft is almost here, and the free Odyssey app brings you the latest coverage from the biggest sports radio stations across the country. Which players will help your team the most? Who will make a draft day trade? Will they be ready for week one? The local conversations about the team you love. All streaming free right here on the Odyssey app. A-U-D-A-C-Y. Download it today.
This is a Wild Card Week edition of Primetime with Isaac and Sue.
Brought to you by George McCoy at Warren Allen Attorneys at Law.
On 1080 The Fan.
Okay, now to another thing going really well. Two sides getting along.
It's rocking out to Metallica.
Well, we are in a pandemic, as you know. COVID. And so teachers were having a lot of people are getting the COVID, the virus that's out there.
Yes.
And they're not able to work. They have to quarantine. They yes. stay home.
Yeah. Although the CDC is beginning to tell us, hey, don't worry about it. You're fine.
Well, I read today it was peaking, so I feel good about that.
That's a good thing, right? We're on the other side of it.
That's what they're saying. So the Portland Public Schools Administration has accused its teachers of coordinating sick calls so that they would shut down the schools. Okay?
Okay, so the teachers are getting together and saying, hey, let's all call out at once.
That's what they are claiming. Now, they, of course, are denying that.
Yes.
So this is from KGW.com. The human resources chief of Portland Public Schools earlier this week accused teachers of coordinating sick calls in an effort to shut down schools. At least 8 Portland schools as of Thursday afternoon had moved to remote learning temporarily. The email, which was sent Wednesday afternoon by Sharon Reese to all teachers, says in part, quote, "We are getting regular reports of educators being asked by colleagues to call in sick with the intention of causing the district to close schools. Not only does this undermine our core mission by depriving students of in-person learning, it also detracts from the ability of educators to take leave to deal with COVID and other legitimate reasons, so we need to be clear. It is unlawful for educators to participate in any sort of coordinated action to be absent for anything other than a legitimate reason under district policy," end quote.
Okay.
Okay.
Seems fair enough.
Oh, is that fair? Is that fair?
Yeah, I don't think you can all just get together and say no.
In turn, the PPS Teachers Union responded, saying the HR email was off-base, demoralizing to all educators, and an insult to our profession, saying in part, quote, "Our schools are operating right now only because educators are going above and beyond every single day and often into the night and over the weekend. Rest assured, PAT will aggressively push back on any attempt by the district to intimidate or harass educators from using their own sick time to deal with COVID infection or other illness," end quote.
Look, I'm going to go ahead and side with the teachers on this one. Those poor people and what they're having to deal with right now. I just, from me to all the teachers out there, I'm sorry. Hey, at least you're not in Indiana. Do you see what they're trying to do in Indiana?
What are
they
doing out there?
They're trying to pass legislation that would require, I think it's Indiana that's doing this. Might be Illinois, but I'm pretty sure it's Indiana. where all teachers would have to submit lesson plans for approval, not just to the school, but to all parents. And then if the parent decided, this, by the way, is like every week. And if the parent decided that they didn't approve of the lesson plan, then that teacher would be required to provide a different lesson for that student. And if they failed to do that, they could be fined or suspended or fired.
What?
That's...
Wow, really?
Swear to God. Look it up. That is real legislation.
And there... Is it going to pass?
I don't know, but they are trying to do it right now. So in theory, according to this, you could have 15 different parents that have an objection and you would have to come up with different lessons plans for those 15 kids. And you would have to explain everything that you're going to teach.
Man, boy. I don't want to be, which would you rather be, a teacher or a cop?
I think I'd rather be a cop.
Would you?
I do. I think I could be a cop and just mind my own business. You know?
Yeah, there are cops that do that.
I'd respond to the bad stuff, right? Although there was a recently one where the cops, I forget, it might have been in L.A., there was a robbery that they were supposed to respond to, and the two cops went on a Pokemon search. They got busted for that one. Can't do that. I think I could mind my own business, show up at the bad stuff, and then just be like, look, I'm not getting involved in a lot of this crap, but if you're a teacher, man, I don't know what you're doing at this point.
If you're a parent and want that much control over what your child is learning, why don't you just take them out of school and do it yourself?
Oh.
Well, I think that's...
If the teacher isn't doing a good enough job, if the school system, in your opinion, wrong or not, isn't teaching your kids what you want them to learn, then you do it.
I tend to think that way myself, Mike. You do it.
Someone also said in Kansas, they're so desperate that if you have a GED or a high school degree and you can pass a felony background check, you can be a substitute teacher.
Well, we were talking about this the other day. I don't think that's just Kansas. I think a lot of states are really struggling to get substitute teachers. Basically, you got to have a pulse.
Yeah. Well, someone...
And they'll let you throw on a video.
Someone in Gresham said that they could set me up to be a PE teacher substitute. It was $270 a day. But I got in the way of this.
Pretty good.
Got in the way of this.
My mom is currently doing sub school nursing, and they asked her, they were like, hey, can you like sub teach for a little bit? And she was like, no, I will not. So, yeah, they're just asking anybody.
Yeah. I won't do it either. Don't ask me.
Yeah, look up it is in Indiana. Look up this bill. It is a House Bill 1134. Yeah. It's pretty spooky. Because it talks about, too, that anything involving race, religion, sex, the teacher has to present a neutral point of view. So, for instance, if you were teaching about World War II, under this bill, you literally could not say that what happened...
So you talk about Switzerland?
You would have to be Switzerland. It's pretty spooky stuff.
All right, well, on that note, that is your In the News for January 14, 2022. The Hot 5 at 5 is coming up next, guys. Stay right there. This is The Fan.
Okay, picture this. It's Friday afternoon when a thought hits you. I can spend another weekend doing the same old whatever, or I can hop into my all-new Hyundai Santa Fe and hit the road. With available H-Track all-wheel drive and three-row seating, my whole family can head deep into the wild. Conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai. There's joy in every journey.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.